Yeah, man, and welcome back to Rare Eddie One Talks podcast. I'm your host, Rare Eddie One.
Viewer discretion is advised.
And welcome back to this special Bonfire Night episode. It will be another Bonfire Night episode next week. But remember, the 5th of November, gunpowder treason and a plot. I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. Guy Fawkes, 'twas his intent to blow up the king and the parliament. 60 barrels of powder below to prove old England's overthrow. By God's providence, he was catched with a dark lantern and burning match. Holla boys, let the bells ring. Holla boys, God save the king. A penny loaf to feed the Pope. A farthing of cheese to choke him, a pint of beer to rinse down, a faggot of sticks to burn him in a tub of tar, burn him like a blazing star, burn his body from his head, then we'll say old Pope is dead. Hip, hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. That's quite a dark poem. And yes, we are going to not have a look at the Guy Fawkes. We've got a couple of stories, a couple of chilling, spooky stories. And we're gonna have a quick look at Guy Fawkes. We're not gonna go fully in depth because I did this last year, but certainly Bonfire Night is also known as the Guy Fawkes Night or Fireworks Night. Is an annual commemoration observed on the 5th of November in Great Britain. It's a night filled with bonfires, fireworks and burning effigies of Guy Fawkes. The origins of Bonfire Night date back to 1605, when a group of Catholic conspirators, including Guy Fawkes, plotted to blow up the Houses of Parliament in London in an attempt to assassinate King James I and restore a Catholic monarchy to the English throne. The plot known as Gunpowder Plot was foiled when Fawkes was discovered guarding the explosives. To celebrate the king's survival, bonfires were lit around London on the night of November the 5th, 1605, and the following year, Parliament passed the Observance of 5th of November Act, making it a public day of thanksgiving. For the plot's failure, over time, the celebrations evolved to including fireworks and burning effigies of Guy Fawkes. Today, Bonfire Night is a festive event with large organised displays, torch-lit processions and various activities. Towns like Lewes in East Sussex are famous for the elaborated celebrations which combine traditional elements with modern festivities. It's a night of both historical remembrance and community fun, bringing people together to enjoy the spectacle of fireworks and the warmth of the bonfire. Yes, I hope everyone that is listening will have a fantastic bonfire night. I know I will. It'll be my first bonfire with a beautiful lady in white, and we're going to do something special. Let me go through all my bloody notes. And now I have not got a drink to review either tonight. So it won't quite be bonfire night without, you know, the treats. So first off, what is your favourite treat? We have toffee apples. We have parking cake, bonfire toffee, s'mores, jacket potatoes, roast chestnuts, a mug of hot chocolate. So the toffee apple, these crunchy apples are coated in a hard sweet toffee shell and are a bonfire night classic. The tradition dates back to the 18th century, when fruits and nuts were given as treats on special occasions. Toffee apples became particularly popular for their mix of healthiness and indulgence. Parking cake. I've never really heard of this, but let's have a quick read of it. This traditional cake hails from Northern England, baby. It's made with a oatmeal treacle and ginger. Its rich, spicy flavor makes it a perfect treat for a chilly bonfire night gatherings. The warming spices and hearty texture are ideal for an autumn night around the bonfire. Bonfire toffee, also known as treacle toffee, this dark, brittle candy is made from black treacle and sugar. It's a staple of bonfire night celebrations, providing a sweet and crunchy treat that can withstand the cold weather. S'mores. Well, I'm pretty sure this is a well-known American treat. While not originally British, these gooey, melty marshmallow, chocolate and graham crackers sandwiches have been embraced worldwide for their deliciousness. Toasting marshmallows over a bonfire and squishing them between chocolate and crackers is a fun activity that adds to the festives and the spirit of things. Jacket potatoes, if you are looking for a savoury treat, is simple yet comforting. Jacket potatoes are baked in their skins and served hot, often with butter, cheese or beans, minus the beans for me, please. They're easy to prepare and the embers of a bonfire making them a perfect savoury snack to enjoy while keeping yourself warm on a chilly bonfire night. Roasted chestnuts. These nutty treats are synonymous with winter festivals. Roasting chestnuts over an open fire is a tradition that dates back centuries. These sweet, smoky flavour of the chestnut is a cosy complement to the crisp autumn air. And lastly, why not treat yourself a mug of hot chocolate. Hot. While not exactly a treat, I would call it a treat myself. A steaming mug of hot chocolate, often topped with whipped cream and marshmallows, is an essential part of bonfire night. It's the perfect drink to keep hands warm and spirits high as you enjoy the festives. Yes, the festivities of bonfire night. What is your favourite treat? Do you have a treat out there? I tend to have a toffee apple, definitely I would go for a jack potato, bit of cheese, bit of butter, and then, I'd wash it down with a hot cup of cocoa. So, we do have a couple of ghost stories to help us with the tradition of bonfire night. My tradition of bonfire night is, let's gather around that little bonfire and tell scary stories and see if we can spook ourselves. Let's see if we can spook you. And then we're going to see, after these ghost stories, we're going to see if we can scare ourselves on ghost Twitter. I don't think that's a thing, but let's make it a thing, ghost Twitter. But now let's go to the main event, Spooky Tales Around the Fire. I've got some chilling ghost stories lined up that will have you looking over your shoulders, from the ghost of the old mill to the crying woman. These stories will have you looking over your shoulder and wondering, have you lost your fucking mind? So, the ghost of the old mill. In a quaint, forgotten town in Millhaven, the old mill by the river has stood abandoned for decades. Built in the early 1800s, it was once the heart of the community, providing grain and flour for the surrounding villages. The mill was operated by a hard-working miller named Thomas Granger, known for his dedication to his work and his kind heart. Tragedy struck on a stormy night in 1892. Thomas stayed late to fulfill an urgent order. Despite the worryingness of the weather, as the storm raged, lightning struck the mill, causing a fire to break out. In the chaos, In the chaos, the heavy millstone broke loose and crushed Thomas beneath it. His sudden and violent death shocked the town, and the mill was never reopened. Since that fateful night, locals have reported eerie occurrences around the old mill. On stormy nights, when the wind howls and the rain pounds against the window, people claim to hear the grinding of the millstone and the faint, mournful cries of Thomas's spirit. Shadows flit across the broken windows, and some swear they've seen a ghostly figure tirelessly working inside, trying to complete the order that was never finished. Those brave enough to enter the mill describe an overwhelming sense of sadness and oppression. They hear whispers in the dark and feel cold spots where the air should be warm. Tools and objects move on their own, and the smell of burning wood lingers, as if the fire that claims Thomas's life truly went out. Despite these chilling tales, some skeptics dismiss the ghost stories as mere superstition. However, the legend of Thomas Grainger and the old mill persists, a haunting reminder of the tragic night long ago. The townsfolk of Millhaven know better than to venture near the mill after dark, leaving these restless spirits for the miller to his eternal work. So, the crying woman, our next story is the crying woman. In this picturesque village nestled in the rolling hills of the English countryside, there stood a grand manor house that had been the pride of the village for centuries. The manor was once home to the noble Pembroke family, known for their wealth and generosity. Behind the manor's elegant facade lay a tragic story that would haunt the village forever. The youngest daughter of the Pembroke family, Elizabeth, was known for her beauty and kindness. She had fallen deeply in love with a young man from the village, a love that was pure and true. However, her family disapproved of the match, believing the young man to be unworthy of their noble blood. Determined to keep them apart, they sent Elizabeth away to a distant boarding school, breaking her heart. Years later, Elizabeth returned to the village, but her beloved had disappeared. Under mysterious circumstances, she was devastated, and her once bright spirit was shattered. Unable to bear the pain, Elizabeth confided herself to her room in the manor, where she cried endlessly, mourning her lost love. One fateful night, overcome by grief, she took her own life. From that night on, the village began to hear a sorrowful cry of a woman crying, echoing through the quiet streets. It became a nightly occurrence, and some claim to have seen Elizabeth's ghost disappear in her white nightgown, wandering the halls of the manor and the surrounding gardens, searching for her lost love. Those who venture into the manor at night often felt an overwhelming sense of sadness and despair. Cold spots, flickering lights, and the faint sound of sobbing were common experiences in the manor. Once welcoming atmosphere had turned oppressive, and the villagers avoided it at all cost. Over the years, many tried to uncover the truth behind Elizabeth's disappearance, but the mystery remains unsolved. The manor was eventually abandoned, left to decay. But Elizabeth's ghostly presence never faded. Her sorrowful cries still echo through the village on quiet nights, a haunting reminder of love lost and souls forever in torment. And our last little ghost story is the haunt, And our last story is the Phantom Horseman. In the heart of the English countryside, there's a narrow winding road that cuts through a dense forest leading to an old abandoned mansion. For centuries, locals have whispered about the eerie presence that haunts this road, the Phantom Horseman. According to legend, the horseman was a soldier named Richard who fought in a bloody skirmish near the mansion during the English Civil War. Richard was fiercely loyal and brave, but during a fateful battle, he was separated from his regiment. In the chaos, he was ambushed and mortally wounded by enemy soldiers. Despite desperate and alone, Richard mounted his horse and tried to ride back to safety. But he succumbed to his injuries on that narrow road leading to the mansion. It's said that his spirit never found peace, and now he roams the road forever searching for his lost comrades. On moonless nights, travellers report hearing the distant thunders of hoofs growing louder as the Phantom Horseman approaches. Air turns icy cold and an eerie glow illuminates the ghostly figure of Richard, galloping past with a determined yet sorrowful expression. His eyes said to glow with an otherworldly light, and his horse breath is visible even on a warm night. Those who encounter the Phantom Horseman often feel a chilling presence and a sense of dread, as if being pursued by an invisible force. Some say that if you look into his glowing eyes, you'll be cursed with bad luck until you leave the haunted road. Despite these warnings, the legend of the Phantom Horseman has drawn many curious souls to the area, eager to glimpse the spectral rider. The old mansion where Richard once sought refuge remains abandoned and overgrown. Its decaying walls and empty halls are stark reminders of tragic events that transpired centuries ago. The road now known as the Horseman's Path is a place of both fear and fascination, a destination for thrill seekers and ghost hunters alike. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, the tale of the Phantom Horseman serves as a haunting reminder that past and the haunting reminder of the past and the spirits that may still linger bound to the places that they once called home. So not quite a bonfire tradition, but we are on UFO Twitter because why the hell not? This might be a real alien. I don't think so, folks. It don't look real. The alien looks real, but it looks maybe CGI'd. Anyone seen this one before? I have no idea which one this is. It looks like in the movies. Mute it. Oh, yeah. A couple of aliens that look like they're all not all fours. It looks like it's in the Middle East or Africa somewhere. So could this be a tribe of people that just have been on all fours for their entire lives? I think that one's fake as well myself. A UFO in New York. Nah, that's definitely fake. That is fake as fuck. Oh my god, that's fake. No, I'd share my screen, but there's just no. A lot of these videos are just so fake. The New York one, it's just they're in like a populated part of New York, and it looks like a CGI'd UFO looking ship comes around a building, and people are running. not a lot of people are running, just a couple. Yeah, that's so fake. That is so, so fake. It's got a tractor beam. I just want to see UFOs and ghost stories. This one looks like it's in China with a load of like orbs in the sky. Could it be drones? Looks like, yeah, I think that one's drones. I think it's drones, that one, folks. It's not good. It's just lights going in the sky. This one looks like a couple of lights in a weird cloud. One of them's dropping from the cloud, but it did have a little break in the video itself. It looked like it cut. Well, it just disappeared. It looks fake. UFO shows up in New York. So another New York UFO video. Insane marketing from Uzi. Yeah, so it's basically a marketing event. Yeah, that looks fake as fuck, to be honest with you. Astronauts use Linux because you can't open windows in space. That's funny. That is funny. Oh, shit. Daily Mail Online. Pentagon chief reveals high res photo of a UFO mothership in a huge mini city floating in the sky. Ah. Also a bit of a crap picture as well. Creepy Bill Gates calls for a new religion to guide humanity in the age of AI. Ah, Bill Gates is a fucking scumbag. Absolute fucking scumbag. Halloween in Dubai, that looks pretty cool. Not gonna lie. Drones are fucking awesome. A lot of these, it just fucking looks... Oh, why fake? I don't understand why people need to fake this shit. Why fake it? You just don't need to fake it, do you? There's no point. There's a lot, hell of a lot of real videos out there, but then you just get the whole load of shit that have just been faked, and it's like, we all know why they're putting this out, to make the real ones, to put the real ones down, so no one's really paying attention to the real ones, because if people's paying attention to the fucked up ones, we're not going to really believe in anything, are they? That looks like a genuine real photo, real video of like a weird thing floating across the sky. Metal, classic UFO shape. It's drones. There's a hell of a lot of drones. Ah, fuck's sake. So we've done quite a lot on tonight's bonfire special. We've had a look at UFOs, we've had a look at some ghost stories, we've had a look at how Bonfire Night started in 1605, trying to kill the king and the parliament. But I'm going to leave you with this true terrifying story that happened to me. It was a night terror, quite possibly a shadow man / sleep paralysis, but I will, it happened to me and it was fucking terrifying. It's happened a couple of times. But so it started on, I can't quite remember if it was round about when Iron Man 3 came out. Cause I can remember going to the cinema and watching Iron Man 3 and then coming back and watching a really shit comedy, what was called Movie 43. Absolute shit movie. But I remember going to bed late-ish, maybe 1-2. It was like Friday or Saturday. I think it was a Friday. So generally got to bed at like 1-2 in the morning on over the weekend. And I was just in bed sleeping as you do. And then all of a sudden, this like, all I can describe it as was like a strobe light effect. This strobe light effect. I was laying in bed. I was asleep, but I was dreaming of myself laying in bed. Weird, I know. But then this like strobe light effect, there was no light, but that's all I can describe it as, because my body, my head was just sort of jerking to like this strobe light effect. And I couldn't sort of move. I was just fucking froze, but I could move because my head was like sort of jerking to like this strobe light effect. And I can remember looking to my left. I had the door. The door was open, but I don't sleep with the door open, but the door was slightly open because I can remember looking to my left and I saw this Grim Reaper type of character. Now, at this time, I was watching a hell of a lot of abduction videos. And I thought, oh, fuck, especially with this strobe light effect. And I thought, am I being abducted by this really thin-looking Grim Reaper sort of thing? I thought, was it a tall grey? And I thought, and I swung at it. I managed to get myself up and, not up, but I managed to take a swing at it. And at the time, I thought I connected. I connected with the door, what was slightly open. And when I connected, I sort of woke up. And I was still in this strobe light effect. Because I remember I went to take a drink. Because I often go to bed with a drink. And I went to take a drink and I couldn't drink it. I was still shaking and jerking. I spilt all my drink all over the place. I managed to sort myself out and, you know, calm myself down. And it was just fucking terrifying. Absolute fucking terrifying. I wouldn't wish that on any fucker. And it's happened a couple of times. And I'm pretty sure it's a night terror. I've not seen the tall grey alien or the Grim Reaper. Because then I got thinking, could it have been sleep paralysis? But no, I've only seen that once. I shit myself. I was terrified. I did not want to get back to sleep. With it being a weekend, that was pretty good. It wasn't like I was at work in the morning, so that was pretty good. And I did manage to get back to sleep, but I was sweating buckets and it wasn't a pleasant time. Like I said, it's happened three times, not to that extent. The previous other times it was me just laid in bed in this strobe light effect, not the light itself, but the effect of like a, it was fucking terrifying. Absolute terrifying. Let me know if you have any stories of this kind, if you could maybe think what it is. Does it sound like a classic sleep paralysis or a night terror? Let me know your treats. What treats do you normally have on Bonfire Night? Are you a toffee apple kind of guy, or are you a parking cake, or are you a savoury tooth? And go for a jacket potato, or do you just cut all that out and just go for a nice cup of hot chocolate with all the bells and whistles? Let me know your thoughts and opinions. I've been your host, Rare Eddie One, and that's a wrap for the Bonfire special. There will be another one next week. Thank you for tuning in and keeping the flames of curiosity burning bright. If you've enjoyed tonight's episode, be sure to like, subscribe, and share the warmth with your friends. Until next time, stay safe, stay warm, and keep those stories alive. This is Rare Eddie One signing off. Happy Bonfire Night. Peace.